Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So today we're going to be looking at outreach, okay? And this is what we define or what we believe outreach is, okay? And God definitely calls us beyond ourselves to reach out with the love of Christ. We are passionate about reaching those who don't know Jesus with the good news of the gospel. Whether in our own backyard or on the mission field, we count it a privilege to take social responsibility for our campuses, our community, our city, and our nation. That's what it looks like. That's what we're sort of allowing when it comes to outreach. That's the lens in which we're wanting to look through. Make sense? So the title of my message today is Reach, to Reach the Others. Everyone say, to reach the others. Okay, so what do we know? What do we know about Mark? Okay, remembering that Mark is part of the Gospels, right? So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And so Mark is part of three Gospels that are known as Synoptic, the Synoptic Gospels. And they call them the Synoptic Gospels because there are three books that are very similar. If you read them, they got very similar content in there. They go down to the point of even there's some places and some stories you'd think, man, these guys, it's like exact the same wording in each of the passage accounts, right? And so that's why they're called the Synoptic Gospels. The Gospel account of Mark is written by this man called John Mark. Okay, and he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. And in Acts 13, chapter 13 to 14, it talks a bit about their first mission John Mark went on with Paul. It's believed that Mark was very close to Peter, the Apostle Peter. And so it's thought that Peter was a major source for John Mark in these writings. It's understood that Mark is the first of the gospel accounts to be written. So Mark's the very first one to be written. And you'll notice that when you read it, there's like, there's a certain pace to the way that Mark writes. If you think about it, it's like an action-packed movie the way Mark reads. Because if you look at it, there's this particular moment of like, if you look within the there's this word, okay, immediately, the word immediately. There's a sense of like urgency and stuff in the Gospel of Mark. And so the word immediately appears 41 times throughout the Gospel account. So you know, oh, immediately this happened. Immediately, immediately. There's this urgency that Mark is writing this. So what is happening here? What is happening here? And so in the previous chapter, in chapter 15, we read about Jesus appearing before Pilate. And so this is like the last days for Jesus. And so he appears before Pilate, and then he's delivered to be crucified. And then we read about the details of Jesus' crucifixion. And then in chapter 16, which Lossa read from, it describes Jesus appearing to his disciples after his resurrection. So this passage is rich in details about the power and authority that Jesus has given to his followers, to his disciples, for the purpose of outreach, for the purpose of evangelism. Verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. They would not believe it. And so in verses 9 to 11, we see Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And this is significant on a couple of levels, okay? First, Jesus is appearing to the woman. He's appearing to, after his resurrection, the first person that he appears to is a woman. And we see this in John chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Listen to this. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid her. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, everyone say the gardener. She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." So Mary is the first person to see Jesus after his resurrection. The first person, and she is a woman. Okay? Now, why I'm emphasizing this is I want to show you something, okay? Can you think of a time in the Old Testament when in a garden and a woman did something first and then gave it to her husband to share? You remember? What was it? The Garden of Eden, yes. And the woman was first there, right, to take the fruit. Sisters, don't lead us brothers down the bad line, all right, now? But, you know, right? She took the fruit and she gave it to her husband. But then, dude, why you not know what God told you to do, right? Okay, both ways, all right? It's not just the ladies, it's the God as well. We got to take responsibility as well, okay? But she was the first, right? And she ate that. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7. Let's read about this. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw with her eyes, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was not paying attention to what God had said, who was with her, and he ate it. This was the fall of man, right? This is where it all went downhill for man from this point. But then when we read in John and Luke, this is the restoration of man. This is the restoration of man, and the woman is the first to see Jesus. Isn't that exciting? The way that God orchestrated this, right? Yes, the woman fell first. I like how this is like the beautiful redemption that God provided for the woman. I like how Charles Spurgeon puts it. He said this, "Was it not most meet that a woman should first see the risen Savior? She was first in the transgression. Let her be the first in justification." Come on, my sister, say amen. Amen. Yeah? What do you reckon? Ladies, sisters, daughters of the King, you have been called by God. God has called you. God has chosen you. There's going to be moments when you are going to be first to do something in your family. And it may be a moment of first experiencing God for yourself so that others in your family and generations to come will be able to experience what God is wanting to do in and through you. You will be the first. Sisters, that's you. Don't doubt what God has called you to do. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, or whether you're in the corporate office, or whether you're in a factory, God has called you to that place. Be faithful in that. That's your circle of influence. That's where God has placed you to be. Do it well. Serve well in that place. Looking after your kids, serve well in that place. Honor God and where God places you, sisters. Is that right? Young people. Maddie, you are a young person that God is going to use, all right? All right? Don't look down at your age, young ladies. Young ladies, don't look down at your age. Don't think, oh, no, I'm too young. Nah. Age doesn't matter to God. It's the condition of our heart. The condition of our heart, all right? Are we right? You sisters encouraged? I hope you're encouraged, sisters. Brothers, I'll get to us later, all right? Don't worry. I'm up here representing us, bros, okay? I got you. Okay, don't ever doubt who God has called you to be. Never doubt what God has called you to do, right? Second, Mary Magdalene was one who had been possessed by demons, and she was transformed by Jesus' healing power. Her testimony serves as an example of how personal encounters with Jesus can transform lives and become a powerful witness for outreach. If we have encountered Jesus' healing power, this should serve as a testimony of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness, and it should empower us to share this with others. It should be something like, oh no, 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 I don't want to tell anyone because I don't want them to, you know, judge me or laugh. If you know that God has changed that in you, God has worked that in you, glory, amen. To be brought out for God's glory. Last week I talked about our testimony, the importance of our testimony. And if we encountered the living and wonderful presence and power of Jesus, then we got a testimony. Anyone here got a testimony? Anyone here? Oh, yeah, three people. Come on. We all got a testimony. If we call ourselves as believers and followers of Jesus, we got a testimony. We got a story to tell. And it's not just about having the story of, oh, no, my story's not sad enough for people to grasp on. It's not about how sad the story is. The beauty of it is about what God has done in you. The change that God does in our hearts. Amen? Is that right? I'm not too loud for you this morning. It's only Sunday morning, people. 9:30. Got to get up. Got to wake up. Right? Question. For us, is will we be willing to share that testimony with others? Will we be willing to share what God has done in us to other people? Mary had a story. Mary had a past. Like all of us in here, we've all done some silly things in the past. I've been guilty of it, yeah. I've done some things that I'm not proud of in the past. But if we're sitting in here and we know that Jesus has changed our life and we're sitting in here only because by the grace of God, then you got to tell how you got here. That's a story. That's a testimony that you have. And only you have that. No one else's testimony in here is like your testimony, because God works in you as an individual. He works in each and every one of us. We're young people, you don't ride on mom and dad's testimony. No, you got your own testimony, young people. You got your own experiences that you've got to have with Jesus. And it's on you to see. It's on you to be in his presence. It's on you to read his word and find out what it is that God is wanting to do in you. You can't rely on your parents. Okay, praises? Nah, yeah. Okay, speak to your kids. Okay? My kids. All right? Does that make sense? We all got a testimony. Okay, so there's this one experience that I'm absolutely sure that God healed me in the process. I was in my 20s, and I got sick after a rugby game, and it got to the point where I was like bedridden. I was so... It was like I was broken, like physically broken. You know, like... I talk to like sports people because like I'm not a professional athlete or anything, but like, you know, when you play in the season, your body is like, it's built for the contact and stuff. But you know, when you stop playing and then the first game, oh my gosh, that first game, during the game is fine, then it's after, your body feels like it's broken. It's out of shape like mine was. It's broken. It feels like, oh my gosh, I can't move. Right? That was like how I felt. I felt like my bones had been broken, and then like just to move a little bit was like, ow, it was so sore. My back was so painful. And what happened, we ended up going to hospital to run some tests because we didn't figure out what it was. And the doctors, they ran all these tests on me, and then they said, look, we want to do one more test on you. It's just a test for meningitis. And I was like, meningitis? Oh, okay, it sounds serious. And so what they do for the meningitis procedure is that they have this big needle like this, right? And they insert it into your back, and they remove liquid from your spine, and then they test that to see if you got meningitis. And oh my goodness, it was the worst feeling ever. And once they got the results back, the doctors, they're like, we can't see anything wrong, Henry. But I am pain. I am sore. I can't do anything. It hurts all over. And I say, okay, maybe you just go home for the next 2 or 3 days. Pain continues. Then come back and see, like what doctors do. I was like, you know, inside I was, and so I go home. And I remember getting home. I'm in my room. And Helen's there and my cousin's there. And I'm just lying in my bed. And I'm asking God in my head, in my spirit, as I'm lying there, God, why is this happening? Why is this pain? Why am I feeling this pain right throughout my body? Why am I going through this? I started to cry in my bed. And then the next thing I know, I started laughing. Started laughing and laughing and laughing. And you know the funny thing was? There was no joke. No one was, you know. I just started laughing. Serious, honestly. And I was, as I was laughing and laughing, and I could see like Helen and my cousin just sitting there. And you know, at the beginning, they were laughing along with me, right? And you know, we were laughing and laughing. But after like about 3 or 4 minutes, I was still laughing and laughing. And then they were looking at me like, you're right, Henry? Is there something wrong with you? And honestly, I just felt like, you know those laughs that you have and you get like sore abs? You know, anyone experience that? I had abs back in the day. They're just hibernating, okay? They come out summertime. Sometimes, okay? But you know, it was at that point I was like, it was like so sore in my stomach, you know, and I was just laughing. And when I was starting to calm down, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so sore. I was wiping the sweat and tears from my eyes in my bed. I was like, oh. And I thought, hey, something's different. There's no pain in me anymore. I was like, for real? I sat up in bed. Oh my gosh, it's not sore. And I got out of bed and I started jumping up and down around the head and did the robot, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, there was no pain in me anymore. And I knew right there, I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, God. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you that you have glorified yourself in and through me. That's a testimony. And I know that we all got testimonies of what God has done in and through our lives. Amen? Our testimonies of what God does in and through us are for His glory. And we are to tell people about this, to reach others through your story. We don't have to compare our story to someone else's, right? Because God worked in you. As an individual, as a son, as a daughter, He spoke and changed your heart. Mary's story was a tough story. She had been delivered from 7 demons. She had been through a lot. But when Jesus healed her and set her free, that empowered her. That empowered her with this renewed strength and boldness to share about what Jesus had done in her life. Whatever mistakes we've made in the past, Jesus can set us free from them. Those bondages, those things, those consequences of those decisions that were made in the past, Jesus can deal with that. We aren't made to carry those things. We have to be able to think that, okay, Jesus, I'm bringing this to you. I want to lay this at your feet that you would deal with it. I can't fix this. But Jesus can. He can, if we will surrender ourselves and submit ourselves to Him. Take our hands off it. God, deal with this attitude in me. God, deal with this unforgiveness in me. Deal with this anxiety in me. Deal with this fear that is in me, God. May you have your way in me. In verse 12, after these things, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. So it's believed that this part of Luke's account is of the two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus. Okay? And so that's told in Luke chapter 24. It tells of the interaction that happened here. And so these two men, they're walking. They're walking. They walk like about 11 kilometers with Jesus. They don't even recognize Jesus until they sit down to have something to eat. And then Jesus, as he takes the bread, gives thanks, and breaks it, then all of a sudden their eyes open up. Oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And then in that exact moment, Jesus vanishes. He's gone. So these discouraged and sad disciples are all of a sudden have this new lease of life. They had just seen the resurrected Jesus. And so they're running back to tell the other disciples, hey, we've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus. He's alive. And what happened to these guys? They did not believe them. They did not believe them. And so we have these two firsthand accounts of people that had seen Jesus, Mary Magdalene and these two disciples. And no one wants to believe them. No one believes them. Why do you think they didn't believe? Was it because they never knew about it? Jesus never told them? Because Jesus never told them that it was going to be exactly like this. Actually, Jesus did say little hints that he dropped to them throughout their time together. In Matthew 16, 21, he says this is just after, in Matthew, it's just after Peter had confessed Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of the living God. And it says this in verse 21, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and on the third day be raised. Maybe they didn't fully understand what Jesus was saying or what Jesus meant when he said, raised, that he would be raised, raised to a new level, raised up on a step. I don't know. What did they think of as being raised? Here's what I think their perspective of being. Here's what they thought of. This is what they thought of when they thought of Jesus as the Messiah. They saw Jesus as the Messiah. They were thinking, he's going to be a king. He's going to be a victorious king. He's going to lead us, the people, and conquer these Romans. That's the king that we want to see, Jesus. That's the king. That's the Messiah that you are going to be to us. And then when they see Jesus on that cross, they're like, that's not what it looks like, Jesus. That's not the conquering king. That's not the victorious king. You're on a cross. How are you going to lead us? When Jesus goes onto a cross and dies, they never expected Jesus to come back from that, right? They thought it was all over. They thought, end of the story. They never expected Jesus to be raised from the dead. Outreach is not just about going to people. Firstly, we need to believe us, ourselves. We need to believe that he has been raised from the dead and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. We need to have that in us. We need to have that so deeply rooted in us that it becomes a principle that our life builds upon, that we live our life out of, that we reach people out of. I know that Jesus is alive. And he's coming back, right? That's the perspective. That's the foundation that we need to work from. If we don't have that truth sown deeply into us, living deeply in us, then we're going to people in our own strength. We're going to people in our own understanding. We're approaching people in our own power. Oh yeah, I think this is a good idea. Has Jesus led you to? Do you have Jesus, the presence of Jesus in you? Do you have the Holy Spirit within you to lead you in this place to this particular person? Because we can do good things. But are they Spirit-led things? Ah, is it something that the Holy Spirit has guided you to that person, right? But when we go with the foundation, the understanding, the humility, and the power in the name of Jesus, that's an equation for the power of God to work in the hearts of the people that He will guide us to. Amen? Outreach is not just about going to people, but believing in the risen Jesus, then going to the people in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the starting point for us. If we want to reach people, it needs to start within us. We need to know Jesus. We need to experience Jesus in our own lives to be able to tell others about how they can experience Jesus in their life as well. Verse 40, after he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them. Oh, you guys. Unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. So Jesus rebukes his disciples. Can you like visualize this, right? Jesus comes back resurrected. He's standing there in front of you. I'll be like, yes, whoa, awesome. And then Jesus rebukes you. Whoa. Jesus, you took me like way up there and brought me down here. Jesus rebuked his disciples for their lack of faith and hardness of heart. This demonstrates the importance of faith and belief in carrying out outreach and carrying out evangelism. Without faith, outreach efforts can be ineffective and lack the power and authority that comes from belief in Jesus. You know, we can look from this side of history, right? And I think we do in terms of these men, these disciples, they were with Jesus, like how we're with each other right here this morning. They were with Jesus. They saw him for 3 years of ministry. They saw Jesus do these miraculous things. They saw Jesus heal people and feed thousands. They saw this with their own eyes. They were present right there seeing Jesus do all this. And yet these same guys, when Jesus needed them the most, they fell asleep. They denied him. They ran away. And then when they're told that Jesus is risen, they don't believe. I think that can be us sometimes, right? There's going to be times when we fall asleep on Jesus, right? Someone may call up, hey, I'm going through this. Can you come in and see me? It's 1 o'clock in the morning and they're coming in. Can you please come in and pray with me? Can you come and be with me? And we're like, what's that guy bringing? Ignore. Silence. Sometimes we can deny Jesus. We're hanging around our friends. We're having a good time. And someone may say something about Jesus. And we're like, oh. But we don't say nothing. We don't say nothing about it. We're just silent. We'll just say, oh, no. Don't you go to church? Oh, only sometimes. No, I'm not that much. Yeah. We'll hide our Christianity. We'll say, oh, yeah, I'll go sometime. You know, when I'm free, I'll go to church. Sometimes we run away. There's opportunities for us to grow in Jesus. Maybe you're invited to pray for someone. You're like, oh, I just gotta go see someone. I'll be back. And you never come back. Those opportunities are there for us to grow towards Jesus. But we're like, not right now, Jesus. I'm not ready. But if he's with us, who can be against us? Place you in that position to hear that. We've got to be able to filter through the noise and the emotions that are trying to tell us, run away. Don't listen. Don't hear that. We got to fight through that and go, I'm here, Jesus, and I want to trust you in what you're wanting to do right here, right now. Amen? These same guys, they fell asleep, they denied him, they ran away, and then they didn't believe. There's going to be moments when we don't believe. There will be times that something happens in your life and you're going to think, nah, this isn't real. This walk is not real. But I want to encourage you. Have people around you. Dig past the emotions. A lot of the times, it's a lot of those times when we think like that, when we really know what the truth is, a lot of the times it's our emotions, right? It's the emotion in that moment that we're so wound up about it. We're so angry. We're so frustrated. We see it as it's just that moment, but we forget all about what Jesus has done up until that point, how Jesus has carried us up until that point. We must repent, we must receive, and we must re-engage. Repent, receive, re-engage. Everybody say, repent, receive, and re-engage. Before we reach out, we must repent. Us in this room, believers, followers of Jesus, we must repent. We must repent of our sin, of things that are happening in our life. And even it can even go down to the smallest of things that we may think, oh, it's not a big deal. Okay, what are you comparing that to? Are you comparing it to the Word of God? Are we comparing it to God's standard? If you're comparing it to God's standard, then good. That's good, because that's the lens that we need to be looking through our lives with, is the standard of the Bible. Amen? We must receive the Holy Spirit. We must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that changes the hearts of people, right? He is the one who does the changing. We speak words, but those words get empowered by the Holy Spirit that is inside those people. The Holy Spirit will go in and begin to shuffle, shake, whatever it is that this person is hearing from your testimony, and he'll begin to change some things. He'll begin to prompt some things in their heart, right? That's why it's so important for us to speak, to declare, to speak forth. Creation was spoken forth. God said, and it was. God said, and then it was. The importance of the spoken word. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the real work. He is the one that gives us the words to speak in any given moment. So we need Him in order to reach out to people. We need Him. And re-engage. Re-engage in the mission of proclamation. We re-engage in what Jesus is calling us to do. Jesus rebuked the disciples because they had hardened their hearts. They had forgotten everything that Jesus had taught them, and they did not believe. In that moment, here is an invitation for them. For the disciples in that room with Jesus, it was an invitation for them to come back to Jesus. An invitation to repent. Verse 15, And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. This is Jesus giving the Great Commission. This is the call to outreach. This is the call to evangelize. This is the call to share the good news. And the good news is that Jesus came on this earth, lived the life that we should have lived, died in our place, rose on the third day, rose again, and in His resurrected power, He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the good news. The work that Jesus is doing in our hearts, He is changing our hearts. He's turning our hearts towards Him. He's softening our hearts. He's healing our hearts. This commission is not just for the disciples at that point in time, but it's for all believers throughout all of time, and even to us today. To go into all the world, and for each and every one of us in this room, we will all have different worlds of influence. We're all called to different worlds of influence. Michaela, you are going to influence and meet people that I never meet. And that's where Jesus is calling you to be that influence in that place. Right? Right? Odeng, Jesus is called and placed you in different worlds of influence. You're going to meet people and speak to people that I will not reach to, but that's where God has called you to be. And you are to minister in that place. Amen? You seeing this? Each and every one of us. Ben, Jesus has placed you. I know this guy. This guy, Ben, he is a skater. I know, he's a skater. Right? You look at him, oh, he's just a pretty boy. No, he's a skater. He's a pretty boy skater. But he has been called. He's been called and placed into spheres around people that I'm not going to be around, that I'm not ever going to meet. But he's been placed there by Jesus, and he is going to be that representation of Christ in that world. Right? Each and every one of us have been placed. Right? And the funny thing is, we may not even like where God's placed us, right? You may be in a job like that, okay? Take it to Jesus, okay? I can't help you with that. Take it to Jesus, okay? But we got to learn, okay? We got to see past the people's attitudes, see past the people's personalities, see past that. See that this is where God has placed you to be. Kids, young people, you're in that school for a reason. You're in that class for a reason. Be that representative of Jesus in your classroom. Amen? Wherever we are, that's the place where God's called us to be, to outreach it. You know, we don't have to necessarily leave the country to outreach. Just open your front door, look around. Oh, it's my neighbor. Hello, neighbor. That's a good way to start, right? So I want to encourage us. Encourage us. See this how God sees it, right? And I get it, you know. There are people that rub us the wrong way, right? But see them, see that person through God's eyes. See that person through God's eyes. God loves them exactly the same way that he loves you. And so if you've been placed in their life, be nice to them. Love them. Care for them. Buy them lunch. Make them a coffee. Right? Care for them. That's a starting way of outreaching. That's the simplest way to start outreaching to someone. Once you get this, each and every one of us, right? We get this. You will reach people that I will probably never reach or never meet. I will reach people that you will probably never reach or meet. But if we reach out to others together in those spaces, many people will be reached, right? You do your part, I'll do mine. You reach those people around you, I'll reach the people that God places around me. We're not in competition with each other. We're part of the same family, all right? Do what God is calling you to do right where you are. Amen? Outreach is not just about getting, okay? Outreach is not just not about going to people. Okay, last one, final point, and then we're going to move on, okay? Outreach is not just about getting someone saved. It's not about just getting, we can treat or like transactionally, right? You know, oh, I've got to get that person saved. And then once I say, well, see ya, you know, we can't treat people like that. We have to build genuine relationships with them, right? That's the real heart of outreach, is to build genuine relationships with the people that we're reaching out to. Amen? Don't treat them like a deal that you're, once it's closed, thank you, see ya. No, continue to grow with them. Continue to walk with them, right? Continue to guide them, help them, point them to Christ so that they be able to experience and see Christ in their own life. You know, we don't want to get to a place where people rely on you, rely on me. Oh, I'm going through this. I've got to ring Pastor Henry. No. Who's your life group leader? Ring them. Talk to them. Don't bother me. No, I won't tell you that. But you know, okay, don't think you always have to come to the pastor. If you're around godly brothers and sisters, that should be your first point of contact. Hey, bro, can you help me through this? I'm going through this. I'm struggling with this in my family. I'm struggling through this in my relationship at home. Can you help me through? Can you pray with me? That's the best way to start. Amen? Can you encourage me with a word? Can you just pray for me right now? And we got to be able to point them to Christ. Okay, I can pray with you, yes. But have you looked? How do you think God wants us to deal with this in His Word? What do you think God's Word's telling us? Right? Because if they see you as the source, if they see me as the source of getting to God, they're missing it. We've missed it. It's not about coming to the pastor. It's not about just coming to Steph. It's not about just coming to Levy. It's about you experiencing God right where you are. And you have all the tools available to you at your hand. The Bible, it's right there. Okay? And so we got to get into this habit of, okay, God, speak to me through your word. I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Show me through your word. How can I deal with this, God? Bring brothers and sisters around me that will help me, to encourage me and pray for me. That's our source. The Word of God. Okay? Not me. If you come to me, I'm going to see your number and I'm going to block you. Okay? Nah, I love you. I love you. I'll answer. I'm the nice guy. Okay? But you know, okay, you have everything you need in the hand, at your fingertips. If you got a Bible, it's right there. Open it, read it, right? Pray. Come around godly brothers and sisters. Is that cool? Was that not too harsh? You still love me? You still love me? I love you. Okay. So we're gonna go into a discussion. Okay, here's our discussion question. This. Do you need to repent? Do you need to receive? Or do you need to re-engage? Do you need to repent? Do you need to receive? Or do you need to engage? Wherever you are, that's okay. Just have a chat to the person next to you. Talk through this. Okay? So we're going to have 3 minutes to talk through this. And you know, be transparent with the person you're at. This is no competition. We're not trying to impress each other with where we're at. This is an opportunity. This is an invitation for you to invite Jesus into right where you are. Okay? So, have a chat. And then I want you to spend some time praying with each other. Wherever you are. Okay? Spend some time to pray with your brother or your sister and encourage them. Is that cool? Okay, we'll see you in 3 minutes, everyone.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.